Our community connection is in Exeter, Luzerne County, where Amy Feldman, president and CEO of Northeast Site Services, sheds new light on a century-old nonprofit in our region. Amy Feldman takes the story from here.
In 1918, on November 8th, there was a young woman named Arlene Phillips who was blind herself, and she got a group of individuals together with the mission that she wanted to have blind people help themselves. So from that came what eventually turned into the Greater Wilkes-Barre Association for the Blind. So Arlene and her cohorts went from home to home teaching Braille, independent living skills, and all of the things that we now, as Northeast Site Services, carry on 100 plus years later.
100 years have gone by, things have changed, there are new technologies and so forth. So even though you are carrying on the legacy, what has changed in as far as methods and modes and different types of programs?
Yeah, I mean, our mission is still the same, essentially, to help individuals that are blind or visually impaired remain as independent as possible through the services that we offer. What we do now is something very similar, depending on what an individual needs. When they contact us or an eye doctor sends us a referral, we will contact the individual. We will go out to their home, kind of see how they're living, what their challenges are with their visual impairment, what they want to be doing and they can't be, what they're doing really well, and kind of develop a game plan from there. We also connect them with other organizations that might be of assistance. Obviously, if they were a veteran, or transportation tends to be a very large issue for our clients. So connecting them with the different transportation authorities within their area, aging, if that's something that they need, Meals on Wheels, the Library for the Blind, all sorts of different organizations. We work really well with the state agency, which is the Bureau of Blindness and Visual Services. So, you know, depending on what their needs are, we'll refer them to different organizations. And then once we have that game plan in place, we kind of go from there. So if they need us to come out to their home, we will, to help them with reading their mail, writing out checks and paying bills, filling out forms, essentially being their eyes for them. And we'll do that as often as they need. If it's once a week, once a month, as needed, you know, they just give us a call and they need help with an application, we'll come out and we'll do that for them. We also do a lot of social and recreational programs for our clients. So each month we have a bingo dinner, we have a lunch and learn session, we have book club, we do a supper and support group. So we really like to get our clients out of their homes and interacting with other individuals who are dealing with some of the same challenges that they are, you know, just really building that peer network of support for clients of all ages. It's so important for them to know that they're not alone and they're not the only person that's dealing with vision loss. And, you know, that's been a really wonderful thing to see over the years, the relationships that have formed.
It's interesting because when you're talking about the challenges of losing your sight, it means you have your sight and now it's diminishing. And mm-hmm. So there is worry, there is concern about how am I going to navigate? But there are individuals that have never seen and they are able to navigate beautifully.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about how the individuals that maybe have been blind their entire lives can be an encouragement or help the other ones who are just trying to learn to navigate. How do they help them?
I mean, it's definitely a level of support. Losing your sight is a loss. It can be a major loss in independence. You know, if you're no longer able to drive, depending on how severe your vision loss is, you know, you're really learning to do everything that you used to do all over again. So I think it's providing them with that hope and understanding that you're capable of doing everything that you always have done. You just have to learn new ways of doing it. And I think they teach each other a lot. It's definitely that peer network of support, and it's definitely learning from each other and sharing tips and tricks and techniques and what works and what doesn't, and it's a beautiful thing to see.
Tell me about some of the programs that you offer, how maybe they've changed or perhaps have been modified.
I have been with the organization for, goodness, 12 years now, so even just the technology in that decade plus has changed greatly. So at our main office in Exeter, we have a Vision Resource Center. And Kristen on our staff is a certified vision rehabilitation therapist. So she mans the store. And then we do also have a low vision doctor who will come in once a week. He'll see patients and provide recommendations for, you know, magnifiers, different things like that. But seeing the types of devices that are available, you know, some of them are so super simple, like plastic lettuce cutting knives that could really cut just about anything, but they're safe and you won't cut your hand. Contrasting cutting boards we have in there. So one side is black, one side is white. So if you're cutting a white onion, you use the black side. If you're cutting a red tomato, you use the white side. So it's just little things like that. But then there's these high-powered magnifiers that could really be a game changer for somebody in terms of independence. Everybody has a smartphone. iPhones and iPads have a level of accessibility that's incredible. Different apps that are available on them. There's the Be My Eyes app where you can actually call somebody when you're at, say, the grocery store and ask them to show you what you're looking at. They can help you walk through the store and shop. There's bill readers so you know what your money is. There is the Meta smart glasses that have come out. I was at a conference and we learned about how orientation and mobility specialists are using those glasses to teach their students. It's just really incredible to see what's coming, and I'm excited to see what keeps coming.
It is exciting. Uh-huh. When you think about what's happening, the latest and the greatest thing, this is going to be a very expensive proposition, mm-hmm. but it's so worth it because you're helping somebody move forward.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we try to do, too, because some of these devices that we carry in our store could be very expensive. So we always try to find avenues so that individuals can get them into their hands. Because like I said, they can really be just game changers in terms of independence, in terms of being able to see, you know, with their usable vision. So anything that we can do to help somebody achieve that level of independence, we're doing our best to make it happen.
I was so impressed with a group of students that came to the WVIA studios. And this is part of a program that you have, that
yes,
you offer.
So we have our Insight Kids Club of NEPA, and the program that you're referring to is our Transitioning to Independence program. And that is one that we're so proud of. It's really evolved into a wonderful program. We run that program September through May, and it's geared towards blind and visually impaired high school age and early college age students. So typically that 14 to 21 age range. So they meet on the third Friday of each month, like I said, September through May, and they do different activities. Obviously coming to WVIA and learning about media in all aspects, they have gone and worked with the Greater Wyoming Valley Chamber of Commerce. They spent a day learning about healthcare careers at Geisinger. They've also done a lot of real life living skills. So Community Bank NA did budgeting so they could understand, you know, some basic financial concepts for themselves. They've gone to the Real Academy, learning about how to be independent on their own. Should they be moving into their own apartment or their own dorm, they learn how to wash their own clothes, meal prep. All sorts of different things to kind of keep them on that road to independence, however that looks for them as well. But in addition to that, they work together as a team. We have 7 students participating in that program currently, and they have a like student-led initiative that they work on throughout the time that they're with us. And this year they chose to do a trip to Philadelphia. We had given them a budget, and they planned the whole thing. So transportation, location, they chose Philadelphia, the timing between the places that they want to visit, the food that they want to eat, all of that. They mapped it all out themselves. So the staff had minimal involvement with it, but it was really their plan and what they wanted to do. And it really kind of gave them that teamwork, you know, building consensus and working together as a team to kind of come up with this trip for themselves. Yeah.
They're doing this very independently, and it must give them a terrific sense of satisfaction.
Yeah. I mean, that's really the goal, is to kind of give them that confidence and that ownership, that independence, and send them out to do whatever they want to do. You know, and I think another huge piece of the program that we offer is really helping them build those advocacy skills and letting them have the confidence to say, you know, when I go to a college course, these are the accommodations that I need. Or the same when they're applying for a job, you know, not being afraid to say, you know, I do have a visual impairment, but this is how I can still accomplish what you want me to. Just kind of owning their particular vision issue and how they can make adjustments for it. So I think it's really being advocates for themselves as well.
I noticed that you do not use the word disability. Which I think is great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you say issues, and because everybody has issues or challenges, we all have them. But what do you see in the students that you brought here that they are just like head and shoulders in as far as awareness and on top of things, and they're just so on the ball?
Mm-hmm.
It was just incredible.
Yeah. I mean, they're just a really wonderful group of students. overall. I mean, they are very independent on their own, so I like to think we added a little bit to it, but they really came into it very, very independent. They're very into the audiovisual, podcasting, all of that kind of stuff, and gaming, and they make YouTube videos, and they're artistic, and they're just so smart, and it's just wonderful. Some of them that we've had in the program, we've been doing the Insight and beyond that for over 10 years now, but we've had, you know, one student I can think of in particular, we've known her since she was like a little girl, and she's in college now. So to kind of see her evolution through our services has been just a beautiful thing.
When you see that sense of independence that this individual has fostered for themselves, they're moving on in life. Mm-hmm. How does that make you feel, knowing that you were a part of that?
It's an honor to be a part of that, to know that our services and that our programs even played a minute part in the success of these kids is just, it's amazing.
Amy, what are some of the other specialized programs your agency offers?
We were talking about the Insight Kids Club that Transitioning to Independence is a part of. We also do monthly programs for the students as well. The Insight Kids Club is from birth to typically 18 to that 21 range, depending. So we do monthly programs. We have one coming up where the kids are going to come and bake. So all ages are welcome to that, but they're going to come and bake in our accessible kitchen that we have in our office in Exeter. We just had our beeping Easter egg hunt in March, so that was a great family program. So in addition to doing these different monthly programs that we offer, you know, whether it's baking or the egg hunt or a holiday party or horseback riding, stuff like that, we also have a two-week campsite program that we host as well. So that'll be coming up in June. It's 1 week in June, 1 week in July. It's a lot of fun for the kids, but it's also that little educational aspect to it, whether it's practicing their orientation and mobility skills, their navigation skills, learning how to prepare their own food. We always have some sort of educational component built in that most of the time they don't even realize because they're having such a great time, but we're excited about that. In addition to the monthly programs that we offer for the kids, we also do family support groups, typically 2 to 3 times a year. So that's another great component of it too, because a lot of families, their child is 18 years old and has been visually impaired since they were born, and then you have some other families just new to this whole process. So they're a great resource for each other as well.
What drew you to this type of work?
I have been involved with nonprofit work for goodness 20 years almost. I'm aging myself there, yeah. But when I was in college at Penn State, I started interning at the American Red Cross, which was on South Frank Street in Wilkes-Barre. Started volunteering. I was involved there forever, and then I did take a paid position. So I worked there for a while, ended up then jumping over to the United Way of Wyoming Valley, and then started at Northeast Site, like I said, about 12 years ago. You know, I just love nonprofit work. I always have. And to your point, you get to see success stories. So you know that what you're doing is really making an impact. I did fundraising for a long time, so asking people for money to support your programs and really being able to tell stories of clients and why the donation that so-and-so made such an impact and helped us build the Insight Kids Club and help us build our Vision Resource Center and to see how much people benefit from it. It's just phenomenal.
This particular nonprofit has been in existence for over 100 years, but I know you'd probably like to see progress and things moving forward. So do you have anything in the pipeline?
We have a couple different things. We're rebranding our Vision Resource Center, so we're excited about that. We're expanding our efforts. So we're in Wayne, Pike, in Wyoming counties, in addition to Upper Luzerne. So we really want to see more clients out there, really grow our programs and our services out there as much as we possibly can, and just continue to evolve. I think we evolve based on what our clients need. So really just continuing to get feedback from them and seeing what we can do to best serve them.
You know, I was just thinking of someone that maybe has just lost their sight and they're trying to navigate their new world.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think one of your students would ever go on up and maybe talk with them and let
Absolutely.
Them realize that, you know, this is life and you
yeah.
can get through this?
Mm-hmm.
Has that ever happened before?
It's definitely something that we have thought about, like getting some of our clients together with our younger students and creating that resource and that bond together.
Do you have any programs about blindness prevention?
We have been doing that probably close to 60 years at this point. So we'll go to kindergarten registrations, daycares, preschool, Head Start locations in those four counties that we serve and we screen the vision of children from 6 months to about 6 years. So typically before they hit the kindergarten age. We'll do that to determine if they have any potential vision issue. If they are found to have one, typically it's just glasses that they need. But sometimes we have found some more serious issues, but we'll refer them to their eye doctor for a comprehensive eye exam. We love that program too, so that's a great one. And then we do have our Marilyn Moore Maslow Gift of Sight program. So if someone is underinsured or not insured and in need of a basic eye exam, they can contact us. We work with a network of different ophthalmologists and optometrists who are willing to donate a basic eye exam. And then if they are in need of prescription eyewear, we have a program that we work with called New Eyes, and they will be able to get prescription eyeglasses at a much lower cost.
What are some of the things that you see in the nonprofit realm that you do not see or maybe would not want in a for-profit situation?
There's a lot of freedom and a lot of fun. We do great work and it's very important, but we always have a good time while we're doing it. And you really just get an opportunity. Like, I've known some of these clients, like I said, one of our transitioning kids since she was probably like 7 years old. You really form bonds with them. Our clients are wonderful, all ages, and I'm proud to be able to help them.
Special thanks to Amy Feldman, President and CEO of Northeast Sight Services in Exeter in Luzerne County. Future plans for the nonprofit include offering services in Upper Luzerne County as well as in Wayne and Pike counties. For WVIA's Community Connection, I'm Lisa Mazzarella.